Healy, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5. Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. In the world of acting, the audition is the job interview. Obviously, you want to do everything possible to stand out at the auditions. To maximize chances of getting cast, some actors choose to work with an acting coach to prepare for auditions. We've decided to do a little experiment here on It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. Karen Vaccaro is a 3-time Joseph Jefferson winning actress who also serves as an acting coach, sharing the wisdom she's gained over her career. Today, we're going to review with Karen what exactly audition prep with an acting coach is, and to put such lessons into practice, we're also going to be joined by talented actor Paul Lockwood, who will discuss his work with Karen as he prepares for an upcoming audition. Karen and Paul, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ricky.
Hi.
Thank you.
Now, Karen, what is, to just start off with the bare basics, what is an acting coach? What do you do for an actor?
Well, each coach works differently.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a coach, there's many different things. There's audition prep, which we did today, but also there's training. And just like any other artist or dancer or athlete would train, you train as an actor. So it's a process,
mm-hmm.
and never ending. Okay, the question, what do you do? What is it to work with a coach? It's to learn how to approach scripted material. It's to have, for myself, I can only speak for myself, I like my actors to walk away with a toolbox that they can use no matter what they work on. So every week, you know, it's a process. You approach the scripted material. What is your work as an actor? For example, as an artist, you have paints, you have brushes, you have your canvas. And so for an actor, that would be, how do you connect to the material? What's the punctuation? What are my intentions? What's my super objective? What are the given circumstances? What are my actions? What are the beats? How do I research this role? And that's the tip of the iceberg.
Okay. Now, Paul, you are auditioning for a production of Sound of Music. And you're interested in a particular character. So we had you work with Karen to prepare for this audition. So, Paul, tell us a little bit about the character that you're auditioning for.
So the particular character that I'm interested in is Max Detweiler in The Sound of Music. He is Captain Von Trapp's friend. He is a theatrical entrepreneur, promoter. He is the one who puts on music festivals with various talent from around Europe. And it's a character that during the time is trying to walk a tightrope. He doesn't want to offend the Germans because of the Nazis, because of the possibility that Austria may be invaded, taken over. At the same time, he wants to be a good friend to Captain Von Trapp, and he's kind of an uncle to his 7 children. So it's a character, actually I should say I'm envisioning myself in this role. One of the things that Karen was getting me to think is first person as much as possible. I am a person who wants to be respected, who wants to be liked, and doesn't want to upset the apple cart in any way, if at all possible.
So, Karen, Mm-hmm. Paul comes to you. He's auditioning for a specific show, for a specific character. Where do you start?
Okay, well, it's a little different than week-to-week coaching because we've got a finite amount of time. We have material. And so we start with how he connects to the material. But then because of time, I kind of take on another role as a coach with the coaching, with audition prep, in so much as I have another perspective. So I wouldn't quite say it was directing, but I'll point out moments that he may not see. I'll ask him questions to be in the question of, like, you know, why are you saying this? What do you want to have happen as a result? What's your intention? What would, you know, not just to be heard, but what do you want to have happen as a result of what you're doing? And then, well, one of the things I was going to recommend is, because I had not really ever seen, I saw a headshot, but I was going to recommend that he dress like the character, and he already did. And it was like, I was kind of sold when he had his shirt and tie and vest on. It was like, oh, I saw Max. And because I saw Paul, you know, and I wanted Paul to bring Paul to the role, as opposed to, like, many times we have this idea of what we dream up in our bedroom, like the night before, like, oh, this is how the character should be, that it's something separate than you. And I tried to get Paul to use himself and then also look at the given situation, what's at stake, what he wants. And I also use a coach when I audition. I use a prep coach, which gives you a different perspective. It's also a little bit of direction. So it's a combination. It's a combination of things. So the first thing we did is see how the material resonated with him, and then made it specific for him. Now, this was a special situation because he's auditioning for this show, but he didn't really know. He doesn't know what the sides will be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so he did his best to come up with the three largest scenes, and we worked on those scenes. And then in moments where it needed to be specific, I helped him come up with some personalization or substitutions that he could use for himself. You know, in a show, you may be talking about your dead grandfather, but your grandfather's not dead, but you remember losing your dog, so you might use that as a substitution.
Okay.
I'm speaking very, but to personalize it and make it personal for him, even if it's not in the context of the play, so that it helps with the stakes.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps. Mm-hmm.
And so in terms of, you mentioned dressing the role, is that dress the role for the audition prep or for the audition itself or both?
Oh, for the audition itself. I mean, that's what many casting directors I know say, dress as much like the character as you can. You think, well, you know, I'm a nurse, but sometimes, you know, it's nice to have a nun's habit hanging in the closet if you're auditioning for a nun. Sometimes people, not that nuns wear habits anymore, but, you know, sometimes, some casting people or direction or directors may not use their imagination, and you're helping it along. You know, you're dressing, you're putting yourself, you're giving them, you're making it more vivid for them.
So Paul, in your head, how did you go about choosing your outfit? How did you go about creating this character visually?
I actually researched as many photos of various Maxes. I Googled as many Maxes. I tried to find as many Maxes as possible in as many productions, film or stage, as I could find on the internet. And I found that often Max has a vest, tie, sometimes it's a bow tie, sometimes it's a regular tie, and sometimes a suit coat. But he's always very, very vested in more than ways than one. And so I found a vest in the closet. I found a matching tie, nice dress shirt, and felt myself as the theatrical impresario that Max might be.
Now, Karen, in terms of getting Paul to connect with the character, not just in terms of appearance, but the actual character and the acting, how do you go about getting him to break down that character?
Well, first of all, not to look at it like the character.
Okay.
That it's him. Okay. So not that it's, you know, that when you think, oh, the character, it's something separate than you, but to think of it in first person.
Excellent. Okay.
You know, to try on the words and take them like they're your words. And then a step further than who are you talking to? What do you want? And how those words resonate with you and what it brings up for you. Because the most powerful thing you have to bring to an audition is you, not your idea or somebody else's idea, but you. And I was told just recently by a casting director, which I know this is different because it's, you know, it's a community theater production, but really, really more and more, and even like at the Goodman and whatnot, they want to see you and what you bring to the world, because that's the most powerful thing you have. So, even when I first saw Paul, you know, we did it via Zoom because we're working remotely. When I saw him in that shirt and tie, I thought, oh, there's Max. I mean, it just went into my head. I don't know. Because he was just very much him. And then we saw how he resonated with the words. And then the next step is, okay, who are you talking to? What do you want? Why are you saying this? What's at stake for you?
Okay, let's break those down one by one.
Okay.
Which is, give us the first one.
Saying the words as if they're your words, just as a first step, and finding your connection to it, finding your truth in those words.
How do you do that? What are the steps to find the truth?
Well, just to say the words and to not act it.
Okay.
I sometimes in my email, I have this little quote I put on my teaching website, which is do less and be more.
Right.
So
right.
Just come from yourself rather than act it or this idea of what the character is as a first step. You know, you want to build a foundation for a house. But you know what I'm really interested in? I can't wait till there's pictures on the walls and there's curtains. But I can't put pictures on the walls and curtains unless I have a foundation for my house. And your foundation is truth and how you coming from a truthful place and how you connect to it. That's how I work. Not everybody works that way, but that's my take.
Now, Paul, how was it for you trying not to act, trying to just be in the moment, as Karen is indicating? Was that a challenge?
A little, but I liked one of the first ones we worked on was one of the last things that Max says in the play. It's at this music festival, and it's after the Von Trapps are the final group that's performed. And he's needing to address through the microphone the audience. There are Nazis in the audience. But he also has just been told Captain Von Trapp is going to immediately leave after this concert. And his family and he are not going to be able to perform again together for a long time. Karen got me thinking about how do you communicate different aspects of this monologue? What am I thinking? What am I trying to have happen?
Who are those people for you?
Who are these people? Who are they to me?
Specifically for Paul. He casts, you know, there's no Von Trapp family there. So,
right. And when I'm saying that these people are going to, I'm not going to see them again for a long time. Thinking about a time when there was someone I was not going to see for a long time in my personal life.
So a substitution.
A substitution, but having it be as real as possible so that the emotion that's coming out of people that I care about not being able to see them again for ever or for the near future. I specifically thought of a family member and a time when I knew I was leaving and I would not probably see this person again.
And can I just add something? And then you don't have to think about the emotion. It's there. I mean, there's no thinking and how should I move, or it's just
add water. Definitely.
Karen, what is the trick to doing a substitution?
That's it. There's no trick.
You just do it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a muscle like any other muscle.
Yeah.
When we first started out, the first thing we did, there's an exercise I use called a personal inventory. And there's three different exercises that we start with in terms of like a listening and a looking, and then this personal inventory, you're taking an inventory of how you're feeling. So many times for many people, you know, asking yourself, how do I feel, and speaking your feeling, it's like, well, I don't know, I feel fine. Well, fine's not a feeling. Good's not a feeling. It's starting out by just being in touch with how you're feeling. And then when he's talking about substitution, there's no trick. It's taking your time and really coming from that truthful place.
Okay. You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5. It was streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, we're focusing on audition prep with acting coach Karen Vaccaro and her student actor, Paul Lockwood. So what comes next? Okay, we've kind of gotten in touch with, we're visualizing the family and so forth. What comes next in breaking down the material?
Okay, so what is your objective? What do you want? And it needs to be, I told him, it needs to be specific. Your want, your objective, what are you going to, it needs to be more than just, I want them to understand, I want them to listen. So they'll do what? What is it going to look like? If you got what you wanted, what would it look like?
And so Paul, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then also, what's at stake? Because the higher the stakes, you always must have, all the stakes in a scene are always very high. And he talked about that before when he said about not seeing those people again. Mm-hmm. So the stakes along with your intention, objective.
And so Paul, were there other stakes involved outside of not seeing the family again, or was that your focus?
That's part of the focus. I think, not to give this away, although I think most everybody probably has seen Sound of Music at some point.
Yeah, I think we can give away spoilers.
But I think there's also a motivation of, I'm still here. I will still be here for the foreseeable future. There are Nazis in this audience who, I don't want them blaming me for anything that might transpire.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to stay on their good side and yet be real with the parts of what I'm saying that deal with people that are leaving me.
Okay. And Karen, do you ever get the actor looking at what they have in common with the character or versus what is different?
We do that. I do that like in lessons. We had three scenes to work on and we warmed up. And so there really wasn't the time. And I saw his song a little bit also.
Uh-huh.
We worked on the song. So there were a lot of steps we didn't. When I'm teaching privately, that's another step. How's the character like me? How is the character not like me? Looking at those differences, which Paul did. And also, once you see those differences, you know, are you living in the Bronx? Oh, maybe I need to research a Bronx accent. Oh, what have other productions done? You know, what do other Maxes look like? So there's research. There's, I think I'm going off subject.
That's okay. That's okay. Now, we had three scenes to work on. Tell us a little bit about the scenes. What were the scenes you were working on, and what were the steps involved? Paul, you want to go ahead, Karen?
No, you can go ahead, Paul. You pick the scenes.
So the one scene we've kind of talked about near the end. There's another scene when Max and Elsa, the woman that is very interested in Captain Von Trapp, when they're first introduced on stage, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so Max is continually on the phone trying to line up groups or individuals who will bring attention to this music festival. He also is aware of, I am also aware,
good,
of the interest that Elsa has in Captain Von Trapp and the possibility that they may marry.
And so, Karen, you're tackling this scene, understanding you have one lesson to try and encapsulate everything. What did you try and do with this scene?
I don't remember, actually.
Okay.
We narrowed it down. We spent a lot of time on the last scene, and on this scene, just what his relationship was with Elsa, what's his intention, like what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And not only from Elsa, but you know, overall, his super objective for the whole show. We just worked on it moment by moment. There was some directing that I did,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the moment. I would look, you know, what is the operative word here? Are you, what did you say? And don't forget this word. And you know what I mean? So there was tweaking, and who are you talking to there? And, you know, what do you want? There's another, is that the scene with Liesl too? Also, Paul, there's a scene with Liesl also.
No, Liesl was the third one.
Okay.
And the third one was the one that you spent the most time on.
But we spent time on all of them. It was mm-hmm. just, you know, I'm not as familiar with the scenes mm-hmm. as Paul is, because it's his audition.
Right.
But, you know, so there was some directing that went on also.
Now, you did mention that you had Paul go through his song. And I think that's a really important point to hit, because one of my biggest pet peeves is when an actor doesn't act during the song, when the character disappears and it's just this song. So what did you take into consideration when you were looking at Paul doing his song?
Well, first, don't try and perform it. Just simply sing the song. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. So he simply sang the song, and it was a world of difference from when he first did it, because he was nervous and he was performing it.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, well, don't perform it. Just sing the song. You know, in musicals, when words are not enough, people sing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an extension. It's a monologue in itself.
Yes.
We didn't have a lot of time to work on the song per se, but the adjustments we did were really profound. There was this anxiousness and this trying to perform and hit the notes. And once he's just stopped and he sang the song, it was like this, it was really, he didn't have to do a lot, because it was pared down. It was honest, and he didn't have to do, there wasn't a lot that he had to do. I tried to get him to do less.
So very,
would you say that's accurate, Paul?
Yeah, and also you'd indicated, you know, don't rush it.
Yes,
be urgency without rushing.
Yes.
And in the case of this particular song and this particular audition, we were told in all the audition information, do not ideally do a song from the show.
Oh.
Do a song from another show. So in doing this particular song that I chose, which is Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
I am not trying to be Max. I am not Max. This is not a song that's sung by Max. It's sung by Willy Wonka originally.
Okay.
But it's a song that, number one, it's in my range.
That's good.
But also, it's a beautiful song, and I think it shows that Max, who does have a couple of songs in which he sings with Elsa, and one of those also he sings with Captain Von Trapp, he may not be participating in his own music festival. But I could.
Okay.
That I have the voice that could theoretically be at this music festival.
Something really charming about the song, you know, when you look at the words, come with me, what are the lyrics? Come with me to a world of pure imagination. I mean, if you look at those words, they're really beautiful, and I couldn't hear it before. You know, he was doing so much. When he just settled down and sang the song, it was really quite beautiful. Because it was simple.
Hopefully everyone thinks that at the audition.
Well, if they don't, call me.
Okay.
So now, Karen, we've kind of gotten a little idea of a coaching session. What do you do in addition to audition prep? What are the other services that you provide with your coaching?
Well, I do audition prep for theater, but also a lot of on-camera work as well. And I work with, you know, a range of actors from the novice to the working professional. And the work is the work. So I don't care who you are. If you come to me, and even if you're, you know, working, if it's just for an audition prep, it's going to be different than if you're coming and I need to work, I need to take some classes. I recently did a workshop for the union, they called a jam session for SAG-AFTRA. And I start with a generic monologue, and I will just teach you that first reading exercise, connecting to the words. I'll get an idea who you are. I'll go away. I'll come back with another monologue. We'll do this first reading exercise. Well, if there are words on a piece of paper, where do you go from there? I mean, I still do this. I mean, the work is the work. Like I said, if you're a beginner or if you're, you know, advanced, I still try to pare it down to first the truth and your connection. Then read the play, you're given circumstances, and we start to layer on the tools and the homework and the script analysis. And when I say script analysis, it sounds very, very heady and intellectual, but I try to keep it very simple so that you're writing in stream of consciousness with your, you know, given circumstances, super objectives, your objective in the scene, what's at stake, breaking your piece up into beats, playing in action, research. So
you've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. We've been discussing the virtues of working with an acting coach on audition prep. My guests have been acting coach Karen Vaccaro and her student actor Paul Lockwood. If you're interested in working with Karen, how can people get in touch with you?
They can email me at Karen at KarenVaccaro.com, and I'll spell that. Karen at KarenV like Victor, ACCARO.com.
Excellent. And you also have a website, KarenVaccaro.com, that people can go and to. Well, Paul, Karen, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time. And Paul, break a leg.
Thanks. Yeah. Let us know what happens.
Will do.